Welcome to Tori Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Vav, Chapter 6. In the previous perek, we started exploring the theme of corruption in the Judean society, and how Yirmiyahu proclaims that a society that ignores and even takes advantage of its weakest members is not a society that deserves to survive. In the last perek, we found Yirmiyahu wandering the streets of Yerushalayim. Here, Yirmiyahu calls to many other cities, perhaps he needs to expand his reach, give up on the corrupt capital, and see maybe other cities are more righteous. Maybe they can lead the way. In Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, he calls to cities that you might be familiar with from driving around the Jerusalem area. He calls to Beit HaKerem, which is now part of the Jerusalem area. He calls to the city of Tekoa, the birthplace of the Navi Amos, who had a similar message a generation earlier, and to all the cities of Binyamin, around the area around his own birthplace, Anatot, near the present-day city of Maale Adumim. He calls out to all the cities, Ra'ah nishkafa mitzafon, evil is coming from the north. It is just around the corner. To illustrate the evil that is coming, Yirmiyahu takes on the voice of the elusive enemy itself. We don't know who they are yet, but we can hear their language. We can hear them talking. The soldiers are calling to each other in verse 4, Up! We will attack at noon! And then, oh, too bad for us. The daylight's almost over. The shadow of the evening are lengthening. And then again, up. Let us attack by night, and we will wreck her fortresses. The voices of the soldiers ring out to the cities surrounding Yerushalayim. Yirmiyahu wants them to be scared. He hopes his nevuah will never come true. He hopes that the fear of punishment will spur the people to examine their ways and fix the evils of their society. Maybe, if they hear the voices of the soldiers, it will become real to them. But Yirmiyahu is facing another challenge as well, and that he is not the only show in town. This idea has come up a few times in the last few prakim, but I'd like to focus on it now. As Yirmiyahu is giving his prophecy of doom, as he's trying to convince the people that he is telling them of their destruction, not because he hates them, but actually because he loves them, he is undermined by a group of people who are saying the exact opposite. I'm reading now from Pasuk Yud-Dalet, verse 14. V'yirpu'u et shever ami al nekala lemor shalom shalom ve'ein shalom. They heal the wounds of my people lightheartedly, and we would say in an offhand manner, and they say shalom shalom, peace, peace, all is well. It says Yirmiyahu, ein shalom, nothing is well. There's another group of leaders, maybe ones that look just like Yirmiyahu with their long beards and their white caftans, but they have a very different message. Their words are lighthearted, offhand. They say, shalom, shalom. Don't listen to that negative Nancy, that bearer of bad news. All will be well. Everything is okay. Yirmiyahu screams back, no, it's not okay. Not everything will be well. There is no peace. It may look on the surface that things are well right now, just like it looks on the surface that people are doing tshuva. But there hasn't been any real change, and the society is failing. Henrik Ibsen has a short play called An Enemy of the People that really reminds me of Yirmiyahu here. In the play, there's a lovely town in Norway whose economy is dependent on a spring where they have baths and beautiful spas. There's one doctor in town, however, who discovers that the spring is contaminated, and instead of healing the bathers, can make them very ill. The doctor thinks at first that he will be praised as a savior. In fact, the opposite happens. The town turns on him, throwing him out of his medical profession, even threatening his life and his family. No one wants to hear the truth. No one wants to know that it is their actions that are leading them down a path of no return, a path of destruction. They'd rather listen to the soothsayers, the false prophets, who promise shalom, shalom. No one wants to hear the lonely man who screams out, Ein shalom! There's no peace. Who's really the enemy of the people? The person who wants to shut down the economy and fix the springs, or the one who tells the truth about what he sees? The one who screams and criticizes, or the person who says, don't worry, all is well, there'll be peace in our time? Yirmiyahu has no chance against these false prophets. They also say they have messages from God. They also say they speak the truth. And their words are comforting and give the people the option to ignore Yirmiyahu as just a crazy man. Besides for the fact that it's hard to hear bad news, there's another reason, and that is that the people don't want to change. In verse 13, Yirmiyahu says, Ki miktanam va'ad gedolam, kulo botzea batza, uminavi va'ad kohen, kulo osa sheker. Now we understand a little bit more why the people are so bent on not listening to Yirmiyahu and why this voice of shalom shalom is so appealing to them. The pasuk tells us, from the smallest to the greatest, they are all greedy. They are all taking bribes. Priests and prophets, kohanim and nevi'im alike, they are all lying. They're all acting falsely. The entire society is built on a system of lies. They are lying religiously, but they're also lying economically. The country is built on kickbacks and bribes, and it's for everyone, the smallest to the greatest. Each one is taking advantage of the one that's just a bit lower than them on the food chain. Each one is oppressing the one that has slightly less power than they do. Speaking about these people, Yirmiyahu notes, Hovishu, in Pasuk 15, Ki toeva asu. They've acted shamefully. They've done terrible things. Gam bosh lo yavoshu, but they don't feel any shame. Gam hachlim lo yado, I can't even make them blush. It's not just that the society is built on lies. It's not just that you have people giving false assurances in order to maintain their own positions and not have to give up their easy lifestyle that they set up for themselves. They don't even feel bad. How could a person not be ashamed of telling people that there will be peace when it's not true? How can a person not feel bad for taking bribes? I think one really leads to another. Taking bribes, kickbacks, it subverts the whole justice system, and it makes a person think that he or she is invincible. That person cannot connect to God. To change your ways and follow Hashem, you need humility, and there is none of that in this society. But these people also can't imagine that anything can pierce their power. And if they did, they would never let on, because the structure that exists is too good. If they would admit that there is a flaw, the whole system would collapse. So the false prophets say shalom, shalom, and the people might even get themselves to believe it. They refuse to be part of anything that will challenge the status quo, that might challenge the corrupt way that society is being run. We now understand better the last parak, when Yirmiyahu looked around the city and could not find one moral person. Well, now we understand. The corruption is so pervasive, it's touched everybody. Not only the leaders, but also the regular people on the street. Yirmiyahu tells them there's another way. There might be a little more prosperous, but getting the money through oppression, it's not worth it. He tries to speak their language, to tell them that actually what they're looking for, true happiness, is in their grasp. Verse 16 reads, Ko amar Adonai, imdu al drachim ur'u, v'sha'alu l'nativot olam, Eze derech hatov, ulchuba, umar goal l'nafshachem, vayomru lo nelech. So says Hashem, stand on the road, stand on the path, and look around and ask the ancient ways. What's the road to happiness? Which way do I go to really reach true happiness? Says Yirmiyahu, travel it, go down that path, and you'll find rest for your weary soul. And they say, no, we won't go. Note that Yirmiyahu tells the people to find margoa nafsham, tranquility or rest for their soul. The Abravanel explains that it's exhausting to live how they live. They're constantly poschim al shtei asipim, jumping from opinion to opinion. It's tiring to live a double life, to act one way in your actions and another way in your heart. It's hard to keep up a facade for so long. Even taking bribes, it's tiring after a while. You have to keep up a pretense of being just and moral when deep down you know you don't act that way. The cognitive dissonance in this society is astounding. Yirmiyahu is offering them not only a way to avert their punishment, but a way to happiness, a way to feel calmness and inner peace by aligning their outsides and their insides, by not just pretending to serve Hashem, but to do the deep work of actually serving him, by not just pretending to be moral, but to do the hard work of uprooting corruption from themselves and their society. That would make them happy. That would make them calm. And that would make them peaceful and also avert the destruction, avert the punishment. They turn back to Yirmiyahu and they say, Lo nelchu, we're not going to go. It's too much. We can't do it. We won't do it. In that case, says your Mio, the enemy is at your gates. You'll lose your wealth and your status. It will just come at someone else's hand. And instead of feeling inner peace, you'll be discarded and displaced. Ko amar Adonai, hine am ba mitzafon, v'goy gadol ye'or miyarkte aretz. Verse 22 says, Hashem says, look, a people is coming from the north. A great nation is roused from the remotest parts of the earth. The nation from the north is bubbling, about to spill over the sides of the pot. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't live in a world of the illusion of shalom, shalom, of peace, when you can actually grasp a world that's truly peaceful. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.